Beth Offenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming here from the Engine Pro Studios, just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Getting into November now, we're going to start something I've been had on a hit list for a very long time. We're having a parade of champions, so to speak. We're going to try to bring in various champions of tracks and series throughout the off season. And the first person we put on the list was kind of first alphabetically on the list track-wise was Chris Andrews, your 2017 track champion at Attica Raceway Park. Chris and I sat down to discuss his reuniting with the Burmeister team, his winter indoor racing activities, and busting each other's balls a little bit. It was kind of fun. We had a lot of fun talking. It's always fun to visit with Chris, and it's kind of an interesting take, too, because he won a championship without winning a feature. So we talked about that a little bit and what his plans are for 2018. So here is your Attica Raceway Park champion, Chris Andrews. Chris Andrews, your 2017 Attica Raceway Park champion. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Well, we've wanted to do this little champions thing for a while. We're going to have various champions on, and you're the first one of the season. And I guess you could say this past season, kind of going to the beginning, was getting the band back together a little bit. Why don't you explain how you ended up back in the Burmeister car?
Yeah, I left that car in 2014 after some good runs, and went to a couple different teams, and things just aren't always greener on the other side. We got back together with Jaron Burmeister, Mikey Summers, the whole Burmeister crew there, and it was a little bit of a rocky start, and just kind of got through the summer and got going pretty good there at the end. So just one of those years where not much happened. We were always consistent. Not many DNFs, obviously, that put us up top. But looking into next year, hopefully things will turn out pretty good.
How does that conversation start? I mean, when you've left the team a few years ago, like how does that strike back up again? Of like, did you initiate that? Did they kind of come to you and go, "Hey, how you doing?" I mean, how does that interaction happen?
Well, me, pretty much anybody in the 16 cars had pretty good chemistry. Obviously, Stuart Brubaker was in the car, and they had, it was a tough way to go, as many people have some bad years. I feel Stuart, he had a bad year, everybody's friends at the racetrack, whether you drove their car, you moved on, or if you did move on, everybody still talks, and I think it was meant to be. And me and Mikey Summers, that whole team, we worked very well together. I can't remember who struck up conversation, but somehow we ended up back together. I'll put it to you that way.
Yeah. Now, what? It's not like seeing the ex-girlfriend across the bar back when we all were married and stuff, but it's better than that, it sounds like. So.
Yeah. I mean, okay. At the end of the day, we get to run, sprint cars, and obviously some relationships don't go as good as others, and there might be hard feelings, but in dirt racing, hard feelings only last for so long. We see each other more than our family,
You had a good overall result. When you look at the season, you ended up with a championship, very consistent. But how tough was it some of the times? Because you guys didn't get the victory lane, did you?
No, it was tough. We had absolutely zero DNS. And I'll be honest, I won a championship back in 2009. Obviously Byron Reed was there, Mark Keegan, and I'll be honest, it was a lot probably stouter of a field back then. I didn't realize what I had probably just accomplished 3 years into a 410, and now, I mean, it's, I think we're in a transition where some veterans have left and some new guys are getting their bearings, and I didn't have quite as good work out the champions, but there, other than Byron Reed, there wasn't many other dominant guys, which made it tough for everybody. So just a culmination of a lot of different things going on. Every year is clearly not the same, so things change every year. Hopefully we'll be dominant right there with Byron.
That could be just because we're becoming the old guys now. I mean, that is the possibility, right?
I don't know. I mean, am I old? I don't know. I'm 29.
I don't know. I just turned 40, so I am old. But yeah, I mean, it makes you wonder sometimes. You're like, wow, you know, when you look at that, I'm like, well, maybe I am becoming the veteran now.
No, it's tough. You know, Attica and Fremont, I've said it forever. This is not a place where you outspend the next guy. Everybody's got the best stuff. And, you know, we have the same equipment that Byron Reed has. We have the same car. We have the same brand new tires that he has. He just goes out and kicks her butt every night, you know, just because he's got it figured out. So it's, you know, it's not like other parts of the country where dominant cars win. I mean, they're all dominant cars here. It's just, it is that hard here. That's just how it is.
And one of the reasons, you know, that car, for those in the listening area that don't know, its primary races around Attica and Fremont. And when you left that operation, you did get the race outside a little bit more. What did that open your eyes up to, not being there every Friday, Saturday night?
I've been to Eldora a few times, and there wasn't much extra. I had raced a lot when my family had owned our own car outside of Attica and Fremont. Be honest, I really didn't do that much out of Attica and Fremont. I mean, the Burmeister car did. It did go to Eldora a couple times this year. Really, that's about it. Well, Mercer and Casey. I'll be honest, you know, sometimes the Attica and Fremont stuff gets a little monotonous, especially running the same tracks every weekend. And sometimes track prep isn't your best friend and you just have to deal with it. You have no other option. But some of that stuff's getting worked on and two very premier facilities. It is nice to leave sometimes. It really is nice to see other people that are familiar with you and just new racetracks, something you're not used to.
And that segues into your winter activities the past few years. You've been taking on some indoor midget racing the past couple of years. How did you get associated with Tyler Thomas and start racing indoors?
I've always, you know, I've always been pretty decent friends there with Chris Rebell, who's in the Circle car. And, you know, he's just a kid that, you know, came out of nowhere. And he had always tried to get me into a midget in somebody's car, some way, shape, or form. And, you know, he had hooked me up with the Thomas family, and I couldn't ask for any better people. You know, it's just midget racing in general. It's like low pressure racing. No one's hard on you. It's just, you go out there, you have fun. It's completely different than your Friday and Saturday night racing. You know, it's just go out, do the best you can, drive the crap out of it, and we'll have fun, you know, and I love it. I enjoy it. It's just something different. It is very difficult, especially for a wing guy, to get in there and actually get the car sideways. That is tough, but I truly enjoy it.
Now, you're going to do DeCoin and Chili Bowl. Is this going to be like your third year with them, or is it fourth year? I'm trying to remember
why we're coming. Yeah, this will be my third winter with them. So, I joked the other day, every time I get in the car, it's like by the time I'm in the B main, I'm just getting used to it again. And hot laps and heat race, you're knocking the rust off. But I've been in it enough now, or usually like one or two laps in the hot laps, I've got the rhythm back. I just need to race those cars more. It's just, again, being a wing guy and driving so straight, it's tough to allow yourself to go sideways, you know?
Yeah, it'd break bad habits, and you try to get yourself out of that habit of not doing that in the sprint car, and then you turn around the midget and have to do it. And you're doing the coin, too. Do you think that helps you a bit, get you up to speed, you know, getting to Illinois?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, the first Chili Bowl race I did, you know, 3 years ago or 2 years ago, I missed a coin, and I would, you know, I'd highly recommend to any rookie to not just show up at the Chili Bowl Nationals and get your butt handed to you. I mean, any laps you can get, especially, obviously, you know, whether it's going into coin or some other racetrack, it definitely helps out quite a bit. It's just, again, it's such a different car that you're not used to driving 40 times a year. It's once or twice, you know, and it is guaranteed, and it's so different. It just really is.
What, you know, what night you're going to race on this year yet? Have they told you, or did you put in for a night?
Yeah, I'll be, I'm always going Tuesday night. Okay. So
now do you
just get it over with.
Now what do you do the rest of the week? Do you come back, do you go back and take care of business, or do you actually hang out in Tulsa all week?
I hang out in Tulsa. It's enjoyable. You live in a hotel for a week and it's just something different. You don't really have time to go out to bars or anything. The race is good at midnight, so the good thing is that keeps you out of the bars and the party scene. So I don't know if you've ever gone there, but I would highly recommend it to anybody.
Yeah, it's been about 15 years, but I've been there. Back, to show you how long ago it's been, it was 3 nights.
They had Chili Bowl 15 years ago?
Yeah, okay. All right. All right, I'll remember that. Okay. Yeah. Let's go back to your Chili Bowl performance. Last year you were through the H main. You did transfer to the G main, though, so it's progress. Is the Chili Bowl kind of like golf, where you kind of like just go out and try to beat your own score? Is that how you approach it, or how do you approach it when... that's always the kind of way I thought about it.
Yeah, I think my first golf game ever, I think I shot par on one of the holes, and then every game after that has been absolutely terrible. So my first Chili Bowl, I think I made it almost to the D main, and last year I was just absolutely terrible. So, it's luck of the draw. It is. You watch St. Fidel and all those guys, they're clear in the back. Some years, and other years are up front, and you see guys that are clearly better than you who are in, H, F, all the mains in the back and G's, and it's just like, man, how did I get here? So, yes, it is. It's just absolute luck sometimes.
Chris Andrews joining us on the line, talking a little bit about sprint car racing in Northwest Ohio and also indoor midget racing coming up this year. And at this point, what are your plans for 2018 other than doing the indoor midget racing back in the Burmeister car, it sounded like, talking to you, but what are the plans?
For the most part, obviously, obviously some Attica Fremont. Honestly, I don't know what we're doing schedule wise. We got to traveling at the end of the year. We went to Lernerville, really well with the Outlaws, and they enjoy getting out. I think they want to get out and not be tied to a pole all the time, with points and stuff like that. So definitely, Eldora is a track they normally didn't go to, and it's a track that I have been avoiding my career of not being there every year, which does hurt you. And they do truly enjoy going to those big stadium tracks and getting some recognition and getting better to actually hopefully be up front at those bigger races. So probably be moving around a little bit.
That's good to hear. So chances of seeing you in a midget outdoors at some point?
Probably zero.
Zero, okay. So no desire to even do it?
Time is money, and I don't have much of any free time. So I'm lucky to drive a half hour up the road here each Friday and Saturday night, to hit up my local track. So unless I got an airplane or something that could get me to point A to B real quick, I don't know if that would happen.
All right. So we have obviously the holidays coming up and Thanksgiving coming up. What does Chris Andrews go to at Thanksgiving dinner? What's the first thing you got to go hit on the buffet?
Oh man, personal questions, huh?
Come on, we're in the middle of November. I can't break down your performance last Friday at Attica with you right now. So
yeah, not many of those. Probably the mashed potatoes and stuffing. I'd go with that.
Really interesting choice. Yeah, I'm a stuffing guy too, actually, but it has to be I'm kind of particular. It's got to be the family recipe. It can't be like anything at the restaurant or anything. It's not stove top either. So.
No, I don't think any of those are edible. I'm not sure. I haven't tasted any that are good, but
yeah. So one more racing question. 5 years from now, where do you see yourself at this point in your career? Are you far enough along? Is there a 5-year plan what you'd like to be doing? Where do you see yourself racing?
Yeah, obviously that's something you think about, but do I want to run a sprint car forever. I mean, I love sprint cars, obviously, but, you know, I've always had a passion for, you know, I do like NASCAR racing. Some people don't want to admit that, but I do like the truck series and, you know, obviously costs and things like that, you know, it does get in the way of actually being able to go do something like that. But, I'd feel accomplished if I could get to a couple of truck races or something like that. I've said that forever. I think I've said that for over 10 years. So, hopefully one day I can make that happen.
It seems like you made a connection that should be able to make that happen the past couple of years, but you know,
I know a lot of people, but usually that check or however your bank account looks, that's what gets you to a point. Unfortunately, I'm not Kyle Larson or Christopher Bell, so money's your next option.
Yeah, you do have to. Yeah, it does need to take that rarefied air sometimes, but you're carving out a nice little career though out there in Northwest Ohio. I don't think it's anything to be ashamed of either, especially with the level of competition you have to compete against every Friday and Saturday out there.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm proud of it, and you know, I've obviously had a few years that there wasn't much to show for, but definitely nothing's easy out here. It's just, boy, you keep plugging away, working your butt off, and sometimes there's not much to show for it, but just look at the driver rosters and the guys you go up against, and once people look at that, they'll see why. It's not easy.
What would Chris Andrews today tell Chris Andrews, the first-year sprint car racer, about 10 years ago or so?
Oh, man, maybe drink a few beers and take it a little bit more serious. I don't know. yeah, I don't know. Maybe focus a little bit more. But again, like I said, you know, I felt I did pretty good at times when I was younger and didn't even realize what I had just done. And I mean, just probably appreciate more. I would say that.
Last question, 2018, what would you consider a successful season? What would it take?
Boy, man, I keep saying I'm going to have a year with 10 wins, but that never happens. So 10 wins, I'll vouch for that.
All righty. Well, Chris, congratulations on the championship there. Look forward to seeing you again next season, and have a great holiday season as well.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me.
I'd like to thank Chris Andrews for joining us on the TJSideways.com podcast, our first Braided Champions interview for the off season. And we've reached out for several other people. We're going to have some of these hopefully about every week and get through as many as we can. It's a busy, busy time. There's a lot of champions to get through just in the region alone. And there's a lot going on still. We have a USAC Sprint Car Champion to determine this weekend. ASCS is finishing up, and of course on the West Coast, King of West Sprint Car Series, Sprint Car Challenge Tour, the Hunt Magnetos Wingless Tour, all in action. USCS is down in Florida, so still a lot of racing in Australia and New Zealand getting ramped up as well. Thank you for listening to the TJSideways.com podcast. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the podcast, have it downloaded through iTunes, the Google Play Store, also on Stitcher. You can also visit TJSideways.com, visit the podcast section, and listen on demand. Thank you very much, and good night.
Thank you for listening to the TJ Sideways podcast.